Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. It's Friday, the 26th of April, 2019. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Machicki, Senator Hoffman, Senator Wilkowski, and Senator Schauer is excused. He may call in. We have a couple items on the agenda today. We are going to take amendments for the operating budget for FY20, House Bill 39, and House Bill 40, the mental health budget. Then we'll set these bills aside for final drafting. Just for those all watching at home, we have a series of amendments. We have a floor schedule in an hour and 15 minutes. We'll try to get through these. The first set of amendments are a lot of cleanup from the CS draft. Then we'll go through a series of amendments that have been offered from the committee members. And then that will conclude the day. We may have to take a break for the floor. If we do, we will go to a recess and try to get this finished today. Some of the folks have other plans in the afternoon, so we want to try to accelerate this as much as reasonable. With that, Mr. Eklund has joined us. For those watching at home, he is the lead staff person for the Senate and the operating budget, has many years of experience, and he's going to help us go through these amendments. So with that, Mr. Eklund, you want to introduce yourself for the record?
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Stedman and the committee.
Senator Von Imhoff, would you like to move amendment number one?
I'd like to move amendment number one.
And I'll object for conversations, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number one is by the request of the governor. It's in three parts. The first part is adding restoring $26,500 for travel funds in the military and youth academy. Part two is reversing a original proposed transfer from the governor. And it's going to return the economic research part of Department of Revenue back into the tax division. So they want to reverse that transfer. And the third part was a late amendment for federal funds, multi-year, almost $5.5 million to ASME.
Any questions on the amendment? I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Any further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Senator Von Imhoff.
I'd like to move amendment number two.
We have a motion to move amendment number two, and I'll object. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number two is a cleanup from action that the Department of Law Subcommittee took. It is replacing criminal crime victim compensation funds with restorative justice funding in the Department of Law. So it's basically cleanup, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Questions on this amendment? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection to amendment number two. Amendment number two is accepted. Senator Von Imhoff.
I move amendment number three.
I'll object for discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number three is also a technical cleanup, basically. The committee CS, the CS1, the committee that the working draft we're working on, spread all the salary adjustments to their proper departments, and there was an oversight in the mental health bill, and so this corrects that oversight.
Any questions on this amendment? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number three is accepted. Mr. Eklund, or excuse me, Senator Von Imhoff.
I move amendments number four.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number four deals with supplemental items in the operating budget, parts A, B, and C are proposed by the governor. They are addressing issues from the governor's office. Part A is removing a reduction of $1.5 million to trooper detachments. It's restoring $1.5 million. Part B is we have in the CS in front of you, the work draft, a letter of agreement for the salary and benefit adjustments for the troopers for FY19. That letter of agreement does not need to be referred to in the budget, so it's being removed in the FY19 portion of the supplemental. Part C is a $900,000 increment for supplemental for the Office of Public Advocacy. Then we have $150,000 of federal receipts added to Institutional Director's Office and Department of Corrections Population Management. And then also a $1 million federal grant, Recidivism Reduction Grant to the Department of Corrections. Then last, oh, that's it. No, lastly, there's one more, Mr. Chairman, on page 9. One more section to amendment number four on page 9, and that is adding intent language that there was $800,000 added in the supplemental portion of the operating budget for senior benefits. And so this is intent language to direct the governor's office to make those payments for the last couple months of the fiscal year for those seniors who qualify.
Okay. We have questions, concerns on this amendment? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the amendment. Any further objection to amendment number four? Seeing none, amendment number four is accepted. Amendment number five, Senator Von Imhoff.
I move amendment number five.
I will object for discussion on amendment number five and explanation. Amendment number five puts in $1,944,000,000, from the general fund through the dividend fund. This would be the statutory dividend amount payment for FY20. In the bill, it would be the a point that we go forward and work the discussion on what the dividend is going to finally be, but it would be coming out of the Senate of the statutory rate. It may end at the statutory rate. It may end up at some other lower number in the discussion as we go forward. Senator Von Imhoff, you have some comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair Stedman. As I've stated all along, paying out a $3,000 dividend will put financial pressure on the state. With a $700 million surplus that we have now with our budget, it requires about another $1.2 billion draw from somewhere. I feel that the state should live within its means and pay a dividend that we can afford, as well as provide a reasonable level of state services. However, understanding the process, by putting in this amendment now, it becomes a conferenceable item, and the co-chairs can continue to negotiate with the House and discuss the amount of the dividend over the next 3 weeks. So I reluctantly support this.
And before we go to the next senator on this, we have been joined at the beginning of the meeting by Senate President Giesel, Majority Leader Costello, Senator Stevens, Senator Birch. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that I be listed as a co-sponsor to amendment number five.
Co-sponsors, we've got Wilson, Olson, Wilikowski, Machicki, Stedman. Okay. Any further comments on this amendment? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the amendment. Do we have further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 5? Amendment Number 5. Seeing none, Amendment Number 5 is accepted. Amendment Number 6, Senator Von Imhoff.
I move Amendment Number 6.
I'll object for discussion. For those watching at home, the permanent fund is composed of two components. One component part is protected by the Constitution from withdrawals. The other component part, the earnings reserve, has roughly about $19 billion, a little less than that projected, $18 billion, somewhere right in there. This amendment would take $14 billion, that's $14 billion, from the earnings reserve, which is the unprotected portion of the permanent fund, and put it into the constitutionally protected portion of the permanent fund, therefore making withdrawals of these funds only allowed with a vote of the people. That is the amendment in front of us. Do we have any comments, concerns from the members? Senator Machicki and then Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This concerns me, absent of any analysis. the reality of it is when we all wanted to cut the budget, many of us wanted to cut the budget, and we're unable to get there in time with the CBR when we burned through $13 billion worth of savings. But what I worry about this amendment, Mr. Chairman, is if we got into the same position, downturn of oil over time, not only could we not cover critical constitutionally required services, but there'd be no way to pay out a dividend of any kind at all if we found ourselves in that same position. That worries me. And when you talk about a vote of the people, that is after our the closure of our legislative session. I just think it takes the ability to respond out of reach, and it's this number, although I support some number, this $14 billion number for me is too high.
Senator Von Imhoff, you have a comment or concern?
Yes. I support this amendment. We have about $18 billion in the earnings reserve account right now. We'll be putting $14 billion with this amendment into the corpus, protecting it for future generations. That leaves us enough for a POMV draw next year. There will also be additional earnings going into the fund. What this does is avoid, it's almost its own type of spending cap, and avoids ad hoc draws on the earnings reserve, which is available now. It's only a majority vote versus a three-quarters vote with the CBR. By moving this money, we protect it for future generations, and we force the conversation of redefining how the dividend is calculated to something that I support, which is more of a split on the POMV draw. So I appreciate the chair bringing this forward, and I fully support this.
Other comments? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certain $14 billion is a large amount that's out there. The problem that I have is by the previous speaker from Soldotna that we're putting a large amount of money out of reach, for those of us that are dealing with day-to-day budgetary and state needed services out there, and so I'm concerned about it from that standpoint, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Walikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if someone can answer how much this would leave in the earnings reserve after the POMV and after the draw of $1.9 billion.
Okay, we'll have that. We'll take a brief at ease. come back on the record. Just double checking the numbers. The question by Senator Wilikowski is, how much is left in the earnings reserve if we sweep the whole $14 billion after we pay out this year's dividend, after we catch up on some haircut that the permanent funds had the last couple of years, do a couple other small transactions, be a billion. Billion's a lot of money, and we have a 60-plus billion-dollar portfolio that's going to make targeted return of 6% or so a year, $3 or 4 billion, maybe 6-7 billion, who knows, somewhere in there. So we're going to have ample resources to take care of what we need to take care of, which is our draws. And this number will then go forward after the adoption of the amendment, hopefully, and into conference, and we'll have some discussions concerning it. Follow-up question, Senator Wilikowski.
Boy, it's a big game of chicken, Mr. Chairman. This is you're leaving $1 billion in the earnings reserve that would not be enough to pay a dividend. To pay a dividend next year will be probably $2 billion. There will be no money left to fund government. I think this. I certainly support putting more money into the earnings reserve. In fact, I think we should get rid of the earnings reserve and roll it into the corpus and then have a constitutional framework. But I'm worried about just putting $14 billion right now, taking it out of the earnings reserve into the principal. And if there's a market downturn or if the price of oil drops, you will have absolutely no ability to pay a dividend next year. That concerns me, Mr. Chairman.
The earnings reserve has been near zero. Back in 08 and 09, we paid dividends in those years. This is not new territory. And we have the wind in our sails and the financial markets, and the size and scope of our portfolio is colossal, into the $60 billion range. Doesn't take long to accumulate a lot of earnings reserve, unlike if you had a portfolio of $5 billion or $10 billion. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. So to the senator who spoke at the end of the table, I'm very pleased to hear that you're willing to look at rolling the earnings reserve account into the Constitution or into the corpus and putting that in the Constitution, then having a regular POMV up to 5% from the total amount, and that's actually the right way to go. But please keep in mind that even with this $14 billion movement, we will absolutely have money to pay for a permanent fund dividend next year, because we're still have enough money for a draw, a POMV at 5.25%, the last year at 5.25%. And from that, that is where you pay both your dividend as well as monies going towards your budget. And so we 25% is what we have, a 25-75% split if we went that route for this year. It would probably give us about a $1,200 dividend, which is almost more than the average amount that the dividend has been paid out for the last 35 years. And we would have that same amount for next year, assuming that we keep the budget pressure on and we don't grow too much.
Follow-up, Senator Wilikowski.
In response, well, two things. What this, I was here in 2010, and I actually sponsored legislation when you're right, Mr. Chairman, we did get in a situation where we didn't have enough to pay a full permanent fund dividend. And what happened was the permanent fund corporation ended up selling assets at a reduced rate so that they could be able to pay a full PFD. I think this action probably forces the permanent fund corporation, if we do have a downturn, which many experts are projecting in the stock market, to sell assets at a loss so that we can pay a permanent fund dividend, which does not benefit the long-term health of the permanent fund. That's number one. Number two, I would disagree with the previous statement that you can't take money out of the corpus right now. You can have a POMV that calls for 5.25%. You can't take money out of the corpus. That is unconstitutional. And so if you get in a situation where there's only, say, $500 million, $1 billion in the earnings reserve, you can only take out what's in the earnings reserve. You can't legally take out anything from the corpus unless we change the Constitution. And if there's someone that from legal that wants to say I'm wrong, I'd be interested in hearing that. I don't think I am. So, again, I have concerns about this amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I hear your concerns. My concern is we've expensed billions and billions out of the CBR over the last several years, and there's no interest in having the permanent fund devoured because of the inability of the legislature to deal with the issue at hand. We have thought about this amount. It gives us enough flexibility going forward to still operate, meet our obligations, and protect as much of the permanent fund as possible. It's a balance. In event that, so I'll just leave it at that. We have other questions. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You brought up a good point. Back in 2008, 2010, we certainly had difficult times back then because of the almost worldwide situation, financial situation that we found ourselves in. And I remember some of the financial gymnastics we had to go through back then to try and make sure that the people of Alaska did have a permanent fund dividend, and the consternation that happened at this, starting at this table as well as throughout the state of Alaska, for all those people that were affected by it, and everybody that got a dividend was affected by it, even those people that didn't get a dividend were affected by it. And I guess my hesitation has to do with I'm hesitant to get ourselves back into that same situation, because getting a permanent fund dividend constitutional amendment through probably is not going to pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think we have Senator Showers joined us online. We have other concerns, objections. Senator Machicki.
So back to that question, if we have, and I hear what you're saying about the remaining amount, but the reality of it is that we are still extremely dependent on a single commodity. And if the value of that commodity drops substantially and there is no revenue other than the POMV and everything other than $4 billion is collapsed, we simply do not have the ability to draw the POMV out of the corpus. And I'm very concerned about that. It takes one bad year or two pretty bad years and you're out of money and have no ability to respond. Is there any way we can get some analysis from just learned about this amendment. It's a big move without analysis. I'd like to support my chair, Mr. Chairman, and I'm struggling with this one.
Well, I could reassure you, which I've stated before, along with the co-chair, that we feel that there's enough financial room to meet our obligations dealing with this transfer. There is sizable sums of money in a $60 billion portfolio that's sitting in unrealized gains after huge bull markets. The stock market comment, the portfolio is well diversified, a big portion into bonds and smaller portion into real estate. And this is obviously not the final action on this bill today. But we need to take, my opinion, of effective action to protect the permanent fund. And that permanent fund, in my opinion, is not for us to squander our generation. We've been very fortunate over our working lifetime with the oil boom. We need to make sure that it is available, Senator Machicki, for your future grandchildren, even though your children are young and not yet childbearing age. We have grandfathers here at the table. We have fathers that and mothers that have young children, and we need to ensure that this is moved forward. And that is the impetus of this amendment. I have full confidence in the analytical ability of my co-chair, Senator Von Imhoff, when we sit down and discuss these items and the financial exposures that the state faces or may face, and with a $60-plus billion portfolio and the past or the significant size of that, along with looking at the history of the permanent fund, I'm confident that the permanent fund is not going to be adversely affected nor will the decisions at this table be adversely affected as far as our ability to pay a dividend. We have other concerns and comments.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a brief Eddies, please?
Brief Eddies. Back on the record, I think there was a Senator Wilson wanted to say a couple of things, and then Senator Machicki wants, he's got a little amendment. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Sedman. You know, this is a large sum of money to move into the corpus, and it's something that, you know, I've talked upon, and folks in my district talked upon moving this money out of the ERA, out of the hands of legislators. We saw what's happened since FY6 to FY14 with the amount of savings that the state has burned through and the amount of spending we've had. And looking at this almost $19 billion in the ERA, it's the way to put that money safely protected from the hands of 21 and 11. And with that, I am supportive of that, as it is effectively a way to have a spending cap.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move a conceptual amendment to amendment number 6.
Okay. I'll object for discussion. What's your amendment?
So
conceptual amendment to amendment number 6.
Mr. Chairman, the conceptual amendment is to change the number 14 billion to 12 billion, and I can explain.
Okay, I'll object for explanation.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that leaves us about 7 billion of room for the issues I talked about earlier, and that's both the ability to respond and the ability to pay dividends while still protecting 12 billion that's currently available within 11 and 21, and I think that's adequate room while still protecting the permanent fund.
I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the conceptual amendment, which would be bring the $14 million transfer down to 12. Any further objection to the amendment? Seeing no further objection to the amendment, the motion number 6 is now modified to 12 billion. We have further comments, concerns on 12 billion. Senator Wilikowski.
I'll support 12 billion, Mr. Chairman. I that gives us a little bit of a buffer. This is going to force a conversation on putting the PFD in the Constitution, and I think that's where we need to go. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Just another comment. We talked a lot about the dividend, but we haven't talked about it also, I think, helps us solidify and maintain an operating budget as well as a dividend.
Other comments, concerns on this amendment? Amendment number 6. Senator Von Imhoff, did you have a comment before I remove my objection? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the modified amendment, amendment number 6, which is $12 billion from the earnings reserve to the constitutionally protected portion of the permanent fund. Do we have further objection? Seeing none, modified amendment number 6 is adopted. We'll now go on to amendment number 7 by Senator Machicki. Senator Machicki,
would thank you.
Move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 7.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Machicki, what do you have here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've supported most of the travel reductions. However, this one hits the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, making them unable to meet around the state as they do. I think it's an important council. This is a $49,000 add for them to be able to do their business as usual with a little bit of a restriction.
Objected to amendment number 7. We have further comments. I remove my objection to amendment number 7. Any further objection? Amendment number 7 is adopted. Amendment number 8 by Senator Schauer. Who wants to help? Schauer 7, who wants to help with Senator Schauer with this amendment? Senator Wilson, can you move amendment number 8, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number 8.
I will object for a discussion, Senator Schauer. Excuse me, Senator Wilson.
Thank you. This amendment number 8 will fully fund the amendment, the governor's amendment to increase the medical costs for the chronic disease and nursing shortages and pharmaceuticals within the Department of Corrections.
Okay, I will remove my objection to the adoption. Any further objection to the adoption of the amendment? Amendment number 8. Seeing none, amendment number 8 is adopted. And we're on to amendment number 9. Senator Machicki, you would like to speak or move amendment number 9, please.
Yes, thank you. I move amendment number 9.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Machicki.
So this is mine and Senator Schauer's amendment along with you, Senator Stedman. This is not an add. It's denying the cut of $18 million to move prisoners outside. And it deletes the $3,557,000 add for allowing 100 individuals to move out of state. This is essentially denying the ability to move prisoners out of state, from which our discussions and evaluations prove that it does not save the state money. If the administration brings a plan forward in the future, we can evaluate it.
Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to amendment number 9. Do we have further objection to amendment number 9? Seeing no objection, amendment number 9 is adopted. We're now on to amendment number 10. Senator Von Imhoff, can you move amendment number 10?
So I move amendment number 10.
I will object to amendment number 10 for discussion. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I'm offering the next two amendments that relate to the 2020 census. This first is an amendment to remove a language section appropriation in the bill right now for $1 million in the Office of the Governor for 2020 census-based redistricting. While this will be an important effort undertaken by the Governor's office, most of this work will begin in fiscal year 2021 after the first batch of census data is released in October 2020. Given the efforts of our committee to contain unnecessary spending, it is prudent to wait to make this very large multi-year appropriation for an issue that isn't an urgent need at this time.
Okay. I'll remove my objection to amendment number 10. Do we have further objection to moving amendment number 10? Seeing none, number 10 is adopted. We're on now to amendment number 11, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I move amendment number 11.
Excuse me, number 11.
Yep.
I'll object to amendment number 11.
Okay, so I am offering a more time-sensitive amendment for a one-time increment of $250,000 to the Department of Labor in support of the 2020 census outreach and enumeration. The census will begin in Alaska in the 2020 fiscal year. In fact, the first enumeration for the whole United States will occur in Tuksuk Bay, Senator Hoffman's district, in January of 2020. A complete and accurate census count is critical for Alaska. Alaska receives $3.2 billion in census-based federal funding each year. And perhaps even more importantly, our representative democracy requires an accurate census to make sure Alaskans are equally represented here in our capital. The funding of this amendment is intended to support multi-agency efforts, including the work of the Complete Count Commission, address verification, non-response follow-up, outreach to hard-to-count populations, and supporting the distribution of census forms and materials in Alaska indigenous languages.
I'll remove my objection. We have further objection. Further objection?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor.
Okay. Co-sponsor, you have objection?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just want a further explanation on this amendment.
Object.
Mr. Chair.
We have an objection. Could you please speak to your objection?
Yeah, I just want to clarify, this says one-time funding for multi-agencies. Is this funding intended to go to the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to grant out, or are the Department of Workforce Development actually conducting the activities?
It's my understanding that it's going to go to the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to coordinate the activities with the other agencies as needed.
Further questions? We have an objection on the table. Further questions, concerns?
Just a comment. I would almost bet my life that it will go to the Department of Research and Analysis as they head up the part of the Complete Count survey with the federal partners.
And with that, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, we have removal of the objection. Do we have further objection to the adoption of amendment number 11? We'll have a brief at ease. Come back online. I'll object to the amendment for discussion purposes. We have a committee man that is off-site. He's on the phone. Apparently there's some phone difficulties. But Senator Schauer, we have amendment number 11. You have Comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I've been trying to talk for some time now. It's not going through, so I'm glad that I'm finally there. And I will have to catch up on the amendments. I will get back to you. Give me a moment. I finally have comms working.
We're on amendment number 11. Do you need an at ease?
Could you give me just a moment to make sure I'm synced up with you? Thank you.
We'll have a brief at ease. On the record, Senator Schauer, you're in the off net. Do you have comments, concerns on amendment number 11?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay, I will remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 11. We have any other objections to adoption of amendment number 11? Seeing none, amendment number 11 is adopted. Amendment number 12. Senator Schauer, are you prepared to speak to this, or should I have one of your colleagues speak to your amendment number 12?
I will pull it up. 1 second, please.
Senator Machicki, would you speak to this amendment, please?
Yes. Did we move in amendment number 12, Mr. Chairman?
I'll object to amendment number 12 for discussion is for clarity. I've forgotten.
Okay.
Go ahead, and if you could help us with this amendment number 12.
I move it if it hasn't been moved. There's objection. What this does is it takes $15,000 out of the general fund. The explanation is this amendment would provide for a one-time appropriation of statutory designated program receipt authority in the Division of Environmental Health to accept that payment to replace $15,000 of the $180,000 UGF subsidy required to maintain the program. The department will be expected to put in place fees related to the regulation of grade A milk and milk products by FY 2021 and reduce the UGF subsidy of the dairy program.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Any further comments on the... Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of number 12. Any... Any further?
Senator Schauer, I'll just add that this was worked on by Representative Rauscher, and the goal is to start stepping the dairies off of the government paying for them. And there was a lot of work put into this in coordination with the Habermeister Dairy itself as we work in that direction. So it's taking time, and it's a step-down approach, but it's moving in the right direction. So that was the goal of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. We have any objection to the adoption of this amendment? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt amendment number 12. Number 12. Now we're on to number 13. Senator Von Imhoff.
I move lucky number 13 amendment.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you. This amendment adds $77,000 from the Higher Education Fund to meet the contractual obligation with the University of Washington School of Medicine. So our committee, Health and Social Services, held a hearing, This committee actually held a hearing on the WAMI program last month. The program allows Alaskan students to pay in-state tuition for medical school through a partnership between the University of Alaska and the University of Washington. I found that the program bolsters homegrown Alaska primary care doctors, many of whom who work in rural Alaska. The investment in the WAMI program is far more cost-effective compared to building and operating a University of Alaska medical school. It recently came to our awareness that last year's WAMI funding level, which we included in the Senate CS, is inadequate for the coming year. So I propose fully funding the WAMI program in fiscal year 20, but I also want to emphasize that I am working with the University of Alaska and other stakeholders to establish non-state financial support for the WAMI program, such as an endowment and increased payback provisions from graduates to maintain this important program and give it the financial independence from the state. And I have a letter here from UAA College of Health looking at creating an endowment, as well as discussing other elements to the program, including payback provisions of current graduates to help fund new recruits of students as they come each year.
Okay. I'll remove my objection to the adoption of number 13. Do we have further objection to the adoption of number 13?
I object.
And we have an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate it. I value the WAMI program and all it's doing for the state of Alaska. It was funded in the House as a fully funded from last year's numbers. It was funded again in the Senate again for this year. And I would like to put a little bit more pressure on the university and the WAMI program to help offset some of the additional costs. You know, $70,000 is not that much for them to find other ways. I would, would more support a sort of a designated receipt authority type of concept for them to make up this difference, but not taking it out of the higher education fund at this time.
Okay. Any other comments on the objection? Do you hold your objection?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, have brief at ease. Objection from Senator Olson. Senator Olson, would you speak to your objection, please?
Actually, I just have a question, Mr. Chairman. What does it do to the fund that it's being that it's coming from? Does it adversely affect it?
Senator Von Imhoff, can you help with that?
So, I think if I follow your question, the money comes from not from the general fund, but the higher education fund.
My question is, does it adversely affect the higher education fund without not being able to go ahead and fund other items that they would normally do that?
So I can't answer that fully and accurately right now without looking back at my notes, but I do know that it has actually about, it says $340 million in it right now, and we have, I know that we're funding the, can we have an at ease for a second?
A brief at ease. On the record, we have an objection from Senator Wilson. We have a question from Senator Olson. Senator Von Imhoff, could you help with the question of Senator Olson, please?
Yes. The Higher Education Fund has $340 million out of it. Of that, we use money to pay for WAMI, performance scholarships, some library online, and a few small departments programs. Indeed, the analysis has been that we're maintaining the fund with these expenditures.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions? We have an objection. Call the roll, please.
Senator Schauer?
No.
Senator Wilson?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Wilikowski?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Yes.
Senator
yes.
Senator
yes.
Senator
yes.
6 yeas, 3 nays.
Mr. Chairman, is there any chance we could rescind our motion? I'd like to change my vote on that.
Okay. Senator Olson rescinds his, or changes his vote from nay to yea.
Nay to yea.
Can you give us the total again, please? 7-2, motion number 13 passes. On to 14. Amendment number 14 by Senator Schauer.
Mr. Chair, I move Senator Wilson,
you want to move Amendment 14?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Amendment number 14.
I will object for discussion, Senator Schauer. Excuse me, Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr.
I can do it.
Okay, Senator Schauer, can you briefly explain this motion, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're finally good on the comms now. Look, what we're trying to do is reconstitute the CAFCA executive director position and fund them to cover travel for commission meetings and ensure the Department of Interior implements the SCOTUS-Sturgeon ruling and applies the Sturgeon case law to all of our navigable rivers statewide in Alaska. The BLM and other federal land management plans that continue to systematically erode our traditional access and use rights. So under this one and with the NOCA, we're trying to make sure that we have an executive director that can monitor the federal actions and coordinate all the meetings, et cetera, to ensure that those court rulings are being upheld as well.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment number 14. We have further objection to Amendment number 14. Seeing none, we'll adopt Amendment number 14. We're on to Amendment number 15. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 15.
Can you move amendment number, please?
I move amendment number 15.
I'll object for discussion, Senator Bishop.
Amendment number 15 is a continuation of legislation that was passed last year. It will give receipt authority for the department to draft the regulations and implement the regulations for the industrial hemp program that's passed last year. Just a footnote, the Department of Agriculture has received more interest on this one bill than anything in recent history at the department. So that's the request.
Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 15. We have any objection to adoption of amendment number 15? Seeing none, hearing none, amendment number 15 is adopted. We're now down to number 16. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. I offer amendment 16.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Bishop.
This critical access designation is designed to reduce the financial vulnerability of rural hospitals and improve access to health care by keeping essential services in place in rural communities. Similarly, the Seoul Community Hospital and Rural Referral Centers, federal designations, play vital roles in helping isolated communities have access to hospital care. The intent language is before the committee here.
I'll remove my objection to the adoption of number 16. Any further objection to adoption number 16? Seeing none, adoption number 16, amendment number 16 is adopted. Number 17, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 17.
I'll object for discussion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 17 has to do with the VPSO program that in recent years has been, has had a negative trend as far as turnover and recruitment challenges. And what we've done with this amendment is put language in there that emphasizes that recruitment and retention be one of the higher priorities within the program, and they be looked at with by the superiors that are overseeing the program in that regard.
I'll remove my objection to adoption of number 17. Any further objection, number 17?
Objection.
Objection?
Object.
We have objection from Senator Machicki. Senator Machicki.
I'd like to be listed as a co-sponsor on amendment number 17.
Machicki, co-sponsor for 17.
And I'll remove my objection.
Bishop, Wilikowski, co-sponsors, anybody else? Okay, and we have no objection on the table for 17. Do we have further objection for adoption of number 17? Seeing none, number 17 is adopted. Number 18 is a amendment by Senator Schauer. Could we have a Senator Machicki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 18.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This adds $250,000 to funding the Civil Air Patrol. And, Mr. Chairman, the reality of it is the Civil Air Patrol, this is saves a substantial amount of money. If those were state employees trying to replace the services that they provide, it would be at a much higher cost.
Okay, I'll remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 18. Do we have further objection?
We
have an objection from Senator Bishop. Senator Bishop.
Thanks for the sponsor bringing it forward. I'd like to be listed as co-sponsor.
Co-sponsor for Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Wilson, Senator Machicki, might as well throw Stedman on there too.
Well, he's over there.
Put me on there.
And Senator Hoffman. Hoffman. Okay. And we have had the objection removed on number 18. Any further objection on number 18? We have objection.
Just the only comment, Senator Stedman, is that the Civil Air Patrol, we have the highest private plane, private pilot activity in Alaska, and this makes sense to have to help folks when they're down. We can't find them.
Any further objection for adoption? Seeing no further objection to adoption, number 18. Number 18 is accepted. We're on to number 19. You move number 19, Mr. Hoff, Senator Hoffman.
I move amendment number 19, Mr. Chairman.
I'll object. Senator Hoffman, you want to explain your amendment?
As the committee may recall, we've heard throughout the state from school districts and from people throughout the state that we are having a major crisis in attracting and retaining teachers, both in urban and in rural Alaska. So with that, many members have asked me to look into this. So I had a meeting with the president of the University of Alaska and asked him, is there any way that the university can address this issue? And he came back with a letter to me yesterday, and that is why this amendment is so late. But the amendment would add $825,000 to the University of Fairbanks campus and reduce the statewide campus addition of a like amount, so it is revenue neutral. The funds would go to Educators Rising, which is a national organization that helps steer high school students to the teaching profession. Educators Rising Alaska, managed at the University of Alaska, encourages Alaska high school students to consider and begin preparation for preparation early for their careers as educators in Alaska schools. Students participate in an education career path that consists of four courses taken as electives while in high school, preparing schools schedules the course, and also offers opportunity for students to compete in the Career Technical Skills Organization activity each March. This amendment would broaden the existing program with the goal of increasing the number of homegrown Alaskan educators. Funds would be allocated toward teacher leadership recruitment and training, recruitment, leadership training and student travel, school coordinating support, update online courses and program data tracking, regional and community efforts to increase program visibility, capacity and sustainability, administrative support for increased program activities under the state middle school curriculum development to complement the existing high school career path. With that, I ask for the members' support to address a critical and growing problem in educating the young people of our state.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of 19. We have further objection to adoption of 19.
Object.
We have further objection. Senator Machicki, speak to your objection.
Actually, I'm not objecting to the amendment. This is to clarify that this is not an add. It's a shift, in case that was not picked up by the public. It's not an $825,000 add. It's a shift from University of Alaska Anchorage to University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Okay, so you remove your objection?
I do.
The objection's been removed. We have further objection. Senator Von Imhoff, you object?
Well, I think Senator Machicki just clarified it. So it's not an additional money. It's moving from one campus to another. That Senator Hoffman stated that the President Johnson requested. Is that correct?
No, I requested him to.
That's a Mr. Chairman. An objection, please.
I object.
And we'll have a discussion on the objection, Senator Hoffman.
I requested the how this can be addressed. The teacher shortage problem to the president, and he wrote me this is a mechanism in response to addressing educators. The existing program is in Fairbanks, and by expanding the scope, we would have to do the expansion up in Fairbanks. So, but this comes from the president.
So just to clarify then, to clarify what Senator Machicki stated, to clarify, it's not new money, it's just receipt authority that's transferring from one campus to another.
Yes.
I remove my objection.
Senator Bishop.
I object. I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor.
Okay, we have objection by Senator Bishop. Bishop is a co-sponsor. Any other co-sponsors? Senator Bishop, you want to remove?
Senator Schauer.
I remove.
Senator Schauer, add him as a co-sponsor, please. Senator Bishop, do you remove your objection?
I do, sir.
Objection of 19 has been removed. Any further objection to amendment number 19? 19. Seeing none, we'll, number 19 is adopted. We're now on to Senator, or number 20, Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Seeing that the funding is the same both the Senate and the House, I will remove objection number my amendment number 20.
Okay. Number 20 has been withdrawn. Amendment number 21, Senator Wilikowski.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment number 21.
I'll object.
I can just
Senator
briefly describe it.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you. This deals with the Marine Highway System. And the current budget has a significant reduction for the Marine Highway System. This amendment would add back $19.528 million from the general fund, which would include an additional $5.6 million from the Marine Highway receipts. And this, I understand this is a discussion and trying to figure out how we move forward on the Marine Highway going forward. I think the cuts go a little far. Under this proposal, Dutch Harbor will receive only two ferry trips with the Senate CS funding. This amendment would fund four, allowing for two runs at the beginning of the summer season and two at the end. Prince William Sound will receive little or no service from November to March under the Senate CS. This amendment would fund limited, consistent service during the winter. Sitka's Central Southeast Alaska would lose significant service from December to April under the Senate CS because of three mainline vessels in layup. This amendment would provide funds to restore a limited baseline of winter service to move freight, passengers, and commerce. Investing this $9.5 million in general funds would generate $5.7 million in Marine Highway System revenue. It would still leave a pretty significant reduction of $24.5 million from UGF, a 28% cut. I wanted to bring this issue to the table for discussion, Mr. Chairman. I know that discussions are continuing and ongoing. I will withdraw my amendment at this time with the hopes that we can continue this discussion and hopefully come to some sort of resolution as we move forward. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. As referenced, this is an ongoing discussion. Amendment number 21 has been withdrawn for further discussion. Amendment number 22, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 22.
I'll object for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this takes us down to the House number, which I think is a reasonable number. There were substantial cuts proposed by the governor for the University of Alaska system. They were dramatically reduced in the House budget. The reductions were reduced. A lot of money was added in. I think there's room for the university to tighten up and prioritize their spend, and therefore I think this is a reasonable amendment.
Now with Senator Hoffman. Okay, we're going to come back to resemblance of order here. We have a motion on the table, number 22. There's been objection. It's for a reduction of $5 million for the University of Alaska statewide campuses. Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Upon some discussion, the reality of it is if that would make this number so it was not conferenceable, and we actually assume that we can deliver further reductions in this $5 million by leaving it with the House number and allowing it to be discussed at the conference table. And with that reality, Mr. Chairman, I will remove amendment number 22.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. Amendment number 22 has been withdrawn. Sponsor. We're on to amendment number 23. Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 23.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment is along the lines of the one amendment number 16 that we passed. This removes the Medicaid rate reduction of 5% from the disabilities, skilled nursing facilities and senior and disability services providers. In my view, Mr. Chairman, Medicaid is about the disabled and seniors, and I think they should be prioritized as critical care hospitals should have been, and I'd like for them to be protected from that 5% reduction.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I object. So I will be voting no on this amendment. It will cost approximately $8 million in UGF for Medicaid. We went through this extensively at the subcommittee, and we accepted the governor's proposal to reduce in the Medicaid Phase 1 cost containment. And so I will be voting no.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go ahead and voice my support for this because from the providers that I've been in contact with, what I've seen is that many of them are afraid that, and we all in the medical field are also concerned that we're going to go and start going down the slippery slope so that we get ourselves in the situation like the Medicare patients who can't find providers out there willing to go ahead and take some of the reductions that are out there. So I am in favor of this amendment.
Okay, we have further comment on the amendment number 23. Senator Michicki, I maintain my objection. Any other comments? Call the roll, please.
Senator Wilson?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Pass.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Michicki?
Yes.
Senator Schauer?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Von Imhoff?
Nope.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Okay, amendment number 23 passes. We're on to amendment number 24.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Senator Michicki.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 24.
Amendment number 24 is moved. I object. Senator Michicki, you want to speak to the objection?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This results essentially in a $50 million cut from the FY19 management plan, but what it does is it sequesters senior and disabilities Medicaid services and creates a separate appropriation. And again, it's the same logic, Mr. Chairman. I believe in protecting the most vulnerable, and I also believe we have to dramatically reduce our Medicaid spend. This reduces the spend, but it says that you have this much sequestered for these programs, and what we've seen is that these programs, again, the most vulnerable, seniors and the disabled, those funds have been shifted around, and it is eroded from the services that are provided to these individuals.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes, I object. So
the objection is, I'm holding the objection, but go ahead and speak to the objection, please.
Thank you. So I chaired the Health and Social Services Subcommittee, and we combined three Medicaid allocations into a single allocation because we wanted to break down silos and streamline processes to promote efficiencies and cost savings. With this change, this amendment, the administration estimates it will increase administrative costs, adding up to 2,000 hours of additional processing time to separate out these two divisions. So I'm a little concerned that we're adding money to this budget when there's been so much discussion about trying to reduce spending. This administrative layer creates more bureaucratic red tape and makes no difference to the day-to-day operations of healthcare providers or Medicaid beneficiaries. It is all in the back end and creates a huge additional fund, an additional source of cost. So I don't support this amendment.
Further, okay, Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you. This was a tough amendment, and looking at through this and been approached by in our office by several folks, and you know, I understand the difficulty of wanting to make sure that providers are paid, but the law is the law. If they are eligible for Medicaid services, they will be paid for those services being rendered regardless. I think the main issue is the money being swept into other Medicaid's funding for shortfalls. You know, I think we already have a backfill within the Department of Health and Social Services with the commissioner being able to move monies around freely, which is the only department that has that capability. I think the previous amendment 23 will help offset the concerns and amendment number 24.
Further comments on 24? I maintain my objection. Clerk, call a roll.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Lukowski?
Yes.
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Rattigi?
Yes.
Senator Schauer?
No.
Senator Wilson?
No.
Senator Bonnenhoff?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
3 yeas, 6 nays.
Motion number 24 fails. We're on to number 25. Number 25, Senator Rattigi.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 25.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Rattigi.
Mr. Chairman, this takes the school bond debt reimbursement from the 100% that the Senate has down to 75%. It's above the House's but below the current amount. And, Mr. Chairman, this is to highlight the fact that there are impacts everybody wanting everything. The reality of it is if we can't control costs in this budget, that everyone is going to be impacted, and that includes the increase in local taxes to meet the burden of bond debt that's currently existing. And Mr. Chairman, I know I don't have support for this amendment, but I think it's important that the public focuses on and engages on what they want, because there's nothing scot-free about any of these budget choices. So with that statement, Mr. Chairman, I hope that's highlighted. I will remove amendment number 25.
Yeah, amendment number 25 has been withdrawn. We're now on amendment number 26. It becomes Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Seeing what the committees have already done in the previous amendment and fully funding the permanent fund dividend for this upcoming year, I will withdraw my motion I withdraw my amendment to 26.
Okay. Amendment number 26 has been withdrawn. Does any member of the committee have further amendments? That concludes the list. Senator Von Imhoff, I think you have a...
Yes, I move that the Senate Finance Committee direct the Division of Legislative Finance and Legislative Legal to make technical and conforming changes to the bill as necessary.
Any objection to that? Seeing none. That concludes today. We're going to stand at ease. This will allow the bill to be written with the amendments installed that we adopted here at the table with our hard work at a little less than 2 hours. I will need members back probably 3 or 4 hours from now to move the bill from committee. That will then release the bill to the public, so there could be ample time to digest the operating budget across the state and in this building for us to bring it back Monday. So please be available later this afternoon. We will try to keep everybody posted on the time element. That way, it'll just speed up next week a little bit and give us more flexibility. Also give the public much more time to look at our work. I think the committee's done very good work. It's a very smooth process and a very open process, not only with the minority involvement this year, chairing subcommittees, but all committee members and staff and non-finance members working together to try to put together an operating budget in these difficult financial times. So we're going to stand at ease for probably 3-4 hours and then gather up this afternoon and just adopt the amended bill. We are at ease. Good afternoon, everybody. Senate Finance Committee back to order 10 minutes after 4 p.m. We have the CS written. We have two actions to take. Accept HB 40, FY 20 mental health budget CS, and HB 39, FY 20 operating budget CS. Senator Von Imhoff.
This is for the mental health budget?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt the Senate Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 40, version 31-GH1901/G.
And I'll object for discussion. So our trustee lead aide on the operating budget, mental health budget, Mr. Eklund, could you introduce yourself for the record again, please, and take us through the changes of the CS?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pete Eklund's staff to the chairman and the committee. Mr. Chairman, there was one change to the mental health CS, and that was there was an oversight in the original committee substitute that was corrected, and that was there was left hanging in the bill a section that had salary adjustments in one section of the bill that was supposed to be spread throughout the agencies, so that was corrected in the bill.
Thank you. Any other questions on the CS? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Any final comments? Senator Von Imhoff.
Okay, I move that the Senate Finance Committee move the Senate Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 40, version 31-GH1901/G, from committee with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee, the CS from committee. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move HB 40 to the next committee referral, which is the Rules Committee. Next item up, House Bill 39, FY 20 operating budget. Senator Von Imhoff.
I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt the Senate Finance Committee committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 39, version 31-GH1905/D.
And I'll object for discussion. Mr. Eklund, if you could help us with some of the numerics on this CS. We spent this morning, I was watching home this morning, adopting a series of amendments. They have some financial alterations to the sheet.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Pete Eklund. In unrestricted general funds, Mr. Chairman, you have a report in your packet. I'm going to round, Mr. Chairman. In unrestricted general funds, the CS you have in front of you is $3.8 billion in agency operations, and $526 million in statewide operations, for a total of $4.3 billion. Mr. Chairman, that is $1,700,000 less than the House unrestricted general fund number in agency operations. But then also, Mr. Chairman, as you know, included was a dividend. And when you add in the dividend spending, the total UGF spend in the budget in front of you is $6.3 billion.
Senator Wilikowski, you have a question so far? Do you want him to? I think maybe before we go to questions, we have other numerics you want to talk about?
I could mention all funds if you'd like, Mr. Chairman. In all funds, the Senate CS in front of you is $11.5 billion. And there'll be many reports on the website, Alleged Finance's website, Mr. Chairman, for the public and for committee members and legislators and staff to go through. There are many different ways to look at the numbers that in this bill, Mr. Chairman.
And we have the Senate, the final. So, okay, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you just explain the payment of the PFD, was the way it was done, we took the SB 26 amount, the 5.25%, and then said a certain amount's going to the PFD and a certain amount's going to government, and then, or did we take an additional amount to pay for the deficit?
Through the chair, Senator Lukowski, the way the appropriation is structured, the 5.25% of market value payout goes to the general fund first, and then whatever amount is determined by the committee or the legislature ultimately is paid from the general fund to the dividend fund. In conference committee, the conference committee will have to decide if there is going to be a deficit, how to balance the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS for the FY20 operating budget. Do we have further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee move the CS, the SCS for the CS for sponsor substitute HB 39 from committee with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to individual recommendations. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee. The next committee referral, and that will be the Rules Committee. That concludes today's work. We took fast, effective action this morning. I thank the committee for that and the orderly process of dealing with amendments. So we will not need a meeting tomorrow, Saturday. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday morning. Senate Bill 10, Suicide Prevention Council, will be up. Also, Senate Bill 103, percent of market value split, and that will include public testimony. We will have that all posted. So we'll see everybody back 9 a.m. Monday morning. We are adjourned.